The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball, picking their winners and sinners from the week gone by. Actually, Ger, this weekend coming now, are you Nafianna? Is that your club?
I'm Vincent's.
Oh, are you? You're not living in Nafianna's catchment
area? No, right across the road from Vincent's. However, I have been invited to be part of their celebrations. So
are you cheating, walking down? You know this thing they do where they all walk down to Croke Park?
Are you scoffing at this? Are you scoffing at local GA community representing themselves and taking over the streets?
Does that sound like me now, Ger?
Could I just say that Vincent's did that walk down a decade ago before it was cool?
Oh, so they're aping Vincent's.
I need to be very careful about what I say because I will be in Nafianna Clubhouse tomorrow night.
Celebrating, you hope. Or is there a bit of you that...
It's a Saturday night before.
Oh, the beforehand.
I mean, obviously you want your neighbours to do well, don't you? That's the whole point.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
You're a Vincent's woman now.
Well, it was short-lived. I did Gaelic for Mothers and Others for about, 9 months, 10 months?
I thought it was Gaz for Maz. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's Gaelic for Mothers and Others. I couldn't do the matches ever. It was always on Saturday and Sunday, so that was my excuse.
Great.
But I found the training part good, but then when we went to play, I just didn't have that edge.
Didn't have the killer instinct.
No, I didn't. And then when someone came up and screamed in my face, I was like, yeah. Because I got really competitive.
Did that happen a lot in Gaelic for Mothers and Others?
A couple times the people face screaming. Competitive, like they do. So yeah. Mm. But they're a great group of people. I really enjoyed when I was there.
Who's your winner of the week, Alison?
Coffee.
Oh.
So you're not excited by that. No. I've had a couple of... Okay. I haven't started the year off well.
Don't judge my reaction.
He is judging. Well, you drink it all the time, right?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Are you a coffee drinker?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So apparently it's good, but it's really good if it's earlier in the day. So if it's later in the day, we're not reaping the benefits. But there was a study, and I was like, who are these people? You know when you always hear studies coming out? And it's over a 10-year period, over 40,000 people in the States. And they did a follow-up, and people who had their coffees, didn't matter whether it was 1, 3, or 6, as long as it was in the morning, a much lower risk of cardiovascular disease.
Sorry, 6 coffees, though, in the morning is a lot.
If anyone's doing that. But they're saying it doesn't matter the amount. It matters the time of day that you're having it.
Okay.
So
6 coffees is just 3 double espressos.
Really? Yeah. What would you have a day?
I mean,
3 double espressos.
It depends. If you've slept well, you only need 2. But if you haven't slept well and you're going on air at 7, half 7 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to be up.
Yeah.
No one wants to listen to somebody snoring.
Wow.
Of a morning.
And is that your drink of choice? Double espresso?
Well, it's, if you want to, the delivery mechanism is the shortest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not going for his oat milk flat white.
No. Now I have, as a New Year's resolution, brought in a French press and I'm having 2 cups of coffee as opposed. It's slower and, and I'm trying to get to bed a bit earlier.
Yeah.
This is great news.
Yeah, no, really good. Particularly for women, though. Sorry, guys. And it really helps us avoid strokes and diabetes if we have it earlier in the day. But this is a huge study. Like, it went on for so long.
How much coffee do you drink a day?
I would do 2 in the morning. And then because I was, say, for example, coming back from Ballyhonis last night, I had 1 on the car ride home. So if the same reason, obviously, if you want your pick-me-up, you have it later
in the day. Do you have a decaf later in the day? Do you ever have a decaf?
No, not really.
Occasionally, but it's like...
Pointless, really.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the taste and the sensation.
Would you?
I'd have a decaf. I'd have a couple of them later in the day, yeah.
Right.
Just I like having a hot drink and I like the taste of coffee.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily want
What's
a coffee.
What's your cutoff point then during the day?
I could have a coffee up to 6 or 7 in the evening.
Yeah. It wouldn't keep you up.
No.
Same. Yeah.
No. Harry McGee, in the Irish Times, I remember being abroad with him on a really important fact-finding mission. Junket. And... he would drink coffee at 9 or 10 at night.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it
really
wouldn't affect
late.
Him. Yeah.
I say that, but then
I don't know what Harry's like if he didn't have it.
Yeah.
Maybe, no offense, but maybe he'd be a completely different person. Maybe it profoundly affects him.
Stomping in the hotel room beside me at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I remember just before COVID, and I know exactly when it was. It was February 2020. I was working on the breakfast show. So, like you, Ger, up early. and I was drinking lots of coffee, like lots. And I started to get really bad irregular heartbeat.
Oh, like, and that's a sign to slow down.
Yeah. And
you said it was good for the heart, though.
Yeah, I know, that's what I thought. Yeah. Cardiovascular health. And I had to wear this like monitor thing for like a day, you know, where they monitored your heart rate and all that. And that's all it was environmental. When they sat down, the cardiologist was like, how much sleep are you getting? I said, four, maybe 5 hours. And then they're like, right. And how much coffee do you drink? Maybe 8 or 9 cups of coffee a day. And he just stops. We don't need the rest of this. This is purely environmental.
But, so, you know, it's good news, though, in general, if you're liking.
Why I always remember exactly when it was, though, sorry, is because the nurse, when I went in, was talking about how everyone was cancelling their holidays and there was great deals. And she just booked a last minute holiday to Portugal.
To Italy, skiing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just though, you must be drinking instant if you're having decaf.
Oh, yeah. If you're having decaf, it's just an instant decaf.
Oh, my
decaf,
God. He's really judging you now.
Yeah.
I can drink instant.
It's not the taste of coffee at all.
It's like coffee and flavor infused something or other.
No, so what are you drinking? You drink it out of the machine here in work.
Well, that's why New Year, no more of that.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got the French press.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
Well, there's loads of them, yeah.
There's a kind of, anyway.
Did you buy a new one or was there not one here?
I was in IKEA.
You?
There were
he
loads
just thought
here.
The off the ball corner wasn't pretentious enough.
Did you, have you written
French,
your name
one,
on it?
One
no,
French
I
press
haven't.
User. There's multiple French press users
He's
in there.
He's going to be like Ross with the enclave. Sandwich and friends if anyone touches
they
his French press.
They don't even call
press.
It a corner. They call it an enclave.
I bought one because I have been using other people's and I felt a little bit like, what if somebody comes in and goes, that's my French press? It's like...
Anyway, same exciting winner press. For you there.
anyway. Ger, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is having no kids' activities, largely, for the month of January. Mm. Particularly the GAA, hats off. There is match this weekend. That's about right. That's it. The whole month
kids
of January.
Matches.
Yeah.
This weekend.
There's like a club from Belfast coming down. They must be going to the club championships or something on the Saturday. And I was like...
But it's like a runaround, isn't it? Especially when you have so many.
Three.
Wow, tie a knot in it.
Yeah.
We can have that conversation if you want. We'll come back to that as another one sometime. I just find that like this time of the year, the kids are absolutely wrecked after Christmas. Mm-hmm. So Christmas is this period of massive overstimulation. And... most holidays you come back from and everybody's refreshed and ready to go. That has not been the case, I would find. It's just pure exhaustion, anger, depression, grief, all the rest of it. And they mainline sugar. There's like bright lights and then that gets switched off.
Cut off.
Straight away. So there's this mad come down. There's the lack of sleep. Everybody's angry as a bag of cats. And not having to rush out every night for a change has been...
it's a big deal, especially when it was so cold as well. Yeah, no, it's nice not to have it.
So what activities would you not... What would
there's
be
still,
a normal...
gymnastics is still on. So ordinarily on a Wednesday, we would have GAA, gymnastics and taekwondo in different parts of the city with different start times for three different clients.
It's a lot.
Clients, yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah.
I hear a lot of your show, in fairness. I hear a lot of Simon Tierney every week. It's like we can have this conversation. And, it's
we should be here.
Red Bush this week.
Okay. Interesting. Because the GA doesn't... is summer sport down the country, you know.
You stop in the winter.
Yeah, we stop. Yeah,
you don't train at all?
No.
Oh.
No, it's great.
They don't need to, you see. They only play one. They don't do football.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
It's only hurling.
Yeah.
The footballs have all been burst.
Yeah. So rugby and soccer are the team sports that are going over the winter.
Yeah.
Obviously. But, you know, as we're Fear Gaels, my kids don't play those sports, you know, of course. You know, they desperately want to, but I was like,
not allowed.
I mean, you can play some handball if you want. You know,
bit of rounders.
Maybe rounders at a stretch. Exactly. Play the Illan pipes, things like that. No, it is nice, though. I say that. I don't do any of the heavy lifting in our house because...
he doesn't clean his house either.
He doesn't do
anything in your house.
But I'm just not around, you know?
Okay, that's handy.
Sorry, but I'm not around for activities, the after-school activities.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm on air.
You're on air.
You know, so that's why.
Yeah. I have the same excuse for weekends. So it's,
yeah, exactly. So you do use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, right. That is Ger's winner of the week. Alison's as well. Alison, what's in the show this weekend?
Shane Dan Byrne. the comedian will be on with me because he's just sold out with three hot guys the Olympia, which is nice. That's a good achievement.
Amazing, yeah.
Two nights in a row, and he's on his own tour, so he'll be joining me as well. I'm going to talk about my trip to Cavan in Ballyhonus this week as well. That's really exciting for people to tune in for that. I went to the first mosque, Ireland's first mosque, yesterday.
And in that Ballyhonus.
Was, how old is it?
1980. And it was quite an interesting experience. But we were allowed into the main part of the mosque as well. Like, it's a huge building, and it's, as I said, it's been there since 1980. So I'll tell more about that, my travels around the countryside.
Yeah, look forward to that. Who's your sinner of the week?
Sheehan. So you don't do fast fashion, guys. You can tell you're both very clever.
Oh, he's mine.
Really dressed.
Very good.
You're dressed extremely well.
He actually is. Sorry. Brilliant.
Oh, no, you're not wearing anything anyway.
No, he means Owen Sheehan is his sinner of the week.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, we'll get to that in a moment.
We'll get to that. everybody knows what it is. But here's something I didn't think of is that because it's so cheap, people are buying so much, obviously. If they don't like it, they're giving it straight to charity. And we always think that, oh, if it goes to charity, it's great, it's fine. But then, no, because it has to be sold for less than other things that are of decent quality. And it's all mixed fabrics, the clothing from Shein anyway. So it makes it impossible to recycle them. So it just all goes to waste. So it's
when you say mixed fabrics, but there's like plastic in it. Or
it could be cotton and polyester together. Anything that's mixed would make it really hard to recycle the material properly. So it goes to waste. So it's like, it's even worse than what it used to be like, where you'd buy, holiday clothes from a certain outlet and then you just donate it to charity afterwards. These are all items coming in with the price tag on still. And they can't really sell it. And obviously charity shops are selling clothes to make money for the chosen charity. So it just goes to waste. So it's really bad.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, it's so cheap. And like, I have a lot of people I have conversations with. They're like, oh, I got it in Temu as well. So they're both just so bad. And we all know fast fashion is bad, but this is particularly bad. And obviously then you're going into the area of how the employees are treated and 75-hour working week and all that kind of stuff. So if you feed into it and you support it, like if a t-shirt costs €2, the person who made it is not getting paid. That's basically it. So yeah, and it's just, there seems to be a bit more pressure now and awareness online of Shein's workings. Mm. And hopefully people will kind of turn their back on them.
Have you, you've not bought anything from them? You've never even bought anything from Amazon?
No, I know. I'm not saying like I'm a saint or anything, but I'm just kidding.
Maybe what's the level below saint? Like you should be canonized.
Yes,
maybe,
exactly.
Not beatified. Possibly,
yeah, just that level below.
Yeah,
she was
exactly.
almost a saint,
maybe.
But she's not quite.
Have you bought anything from Shein or Temu?
No, no.
Would you? Is it a principled opposition or you just haven't bothered?
It seems, is it not complicated? Or is it all very straightforward now?
It's very straightforward.
Too straightforward.
Okay, yeah.
So tell us about your experience.
I've not bought anything from Shein and I bought one product from Temu.
All right.
It was for research purposes.
Okay.
And I bought we were doing something on the show here and I remember looking up and I had to look up a product or whatever it was and I looked up, it was around in the summer, Tour de France is on, and I looked up a yellow jersey.
Right.
And then, looking it up and then moving on with my life. Then I got an email from Temu about five minutes after. It's 1 cent. If you buy it right now, it's 1 cent free delivery.
Oh my God.
And I just said, sorry, this has to be, it's going to come and it's going to be like, it'll fit on my baby finger or something.
Yeah.
So I ordered it and it came. And it was a yellow, it was an adult men's.
Acceptable?
I don't know. I wore it once and I'm worried about like what
and
happens.
And now where is it?
Like it'll just unravel. It's
just
in the back of my press. And I'm sure it'll get turfed out, when you do a kind of a clear out.
And then you can't recycle it. And now you're just part of the problem.
Well, no, I'll just give it to the local charity shop,
But they don't want it.
Oh, they do. This is a great jersey. And I'll sell it to them for like 1 cent. 2 cents.
2 cents. You make a profit.
I'll make money out of it. Yeah, but it's so easy.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I know a lot of people buy stuff for house or like kind of, this woman yesterday I met bought the ear piercing gun from them as well. She's like, it's only a fiver. And Jer's face is like, we wouldn't let our daughters do that. And I'm just like, yeah, of course it's a fiver. Like, it's probably you're going to be able to use it once. And then it's just
or poison you.
Yeah, exactly. It could be lead poison. So yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But all that is a little spike. That's good value probably. How much?
He's like, is it still for sale?
Yeah.
You want to get your ears pierced?
No, though my daughter, we were doing first ear, we were to do the first changing of earrings the weekend.
Okay.
That was traumatic for everybody involved.
Yeah.
There was lots of ice cubes.
Yeah.
I had to explain to her how a neighbor of mine, when we were young lads, his mother did it with like a safety pin and an ice cube.
We did that in the 90s, but I wouldn't advise it for people.
No, yeah. Anyway, we got
there. Did it heal?
Mine did, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Suggestion that some of your friends perhaps
probably didn't know.
Okay. So who's, so another Sheehan then is your sinner?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Hope he's
I hope he is. So there I am. This is a painting, a bucolic picture of life in my family, which is not normally like that. But we were making bread on Wednesday evening, right?
That's because you don't have taekwondo.
Exactly.
And yeah.
It's like a proper family activity.
And everything
to do,
else.
You know, trying to make some memories. And
they're like, oh God, I can't wait till taekwondo comes back.
The show that I present is on the internet and so therefore is not subject to the same rules from Commission the Man. So I would have a little bit of a potty mouth sometimes, and we are very laissez-faire when it comes to what is allowed pass in terms of language or stories that might be told.
You have more freedom.
Yeah.
But I would always say, if there's any little ears in the car, you might want to get them, you know, close. No warning. And there's this lovely story about an eagle in Benfica, which is the football club in Lisbon, one of the most famous football clubs in the world. There's a famous eagle and there's an eagle handler, and he was so good at his job that he got
Jared
promoted.
Jared just did an impression of an eagle, by the
way.
Yeah, I know. I know this is radio.
You need to know what it is.
I'm glad he did that.
Just in case you weren't sure.
Which one is eagle again?
Is
that the one with the long neck and all the spots? Oh, no, it's like the wings. Yeah, thanks.
Sorry. So.
Gets promoted to a job in Lazio in Rome. Gets in a little bit of hot water because he's a big fan of Il Duce and makes some kind of, you know, fascist gestures. But he's okay for a while until suddenly last week the news breaks that he's been fired for posting the results of a piece of surgery that he got done on his social media. And 30 seconds later,
he got a surgery on social media. No, yes, I do.
30 seconds later, my 10-year-old is going, what's penile enhancement, Dad? I'm like, oh.
So I don't need to talk about that here.
It is karma. Just in case I should have said if there's any little ears. And
yeah, sorry.
Explain
if there's
to
any
your
little ears listening, you know, distract
too late.
Them. Distract them now for the next 2 minutes.
What, Owen thinks it's hilarious.
Did he? How did you answer the question?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Owen tomorrow. And reader, I never did.
Oh, very good. That's one step better than ask your mother. Please don't ask
that
me.
That would be fair.
There's the delay, you know. There's that. Then tomorrow, you hope that it's all
in their head.
Was it as a result of illness that he needed the surgery, or
was it
cosmetic?
Cosmetic, yeah.
Okay.
Prosthesis.
But he's been fired, this guy now.
Well,
he?
for posting the pictures, it's not for. I think he could have had the surgery, just not told anybody about it. It's the the public.
Do you think which is a more fireable offence, posting that or doing Nazi salutes, fascist salutes?
In Lazio, they have a significant tolerance for.
They do,
You know, they actually quite like. The trains ran on time, all that kind of
they
stuff.
They did famously,
So the sympathies with the support base would be more with that than it would be with.
All right. Sheehan and Sheehan. Dual
together
at last. I like that.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, it is the last bit of the show. Alison Curtis and Ger Gilroy are both still with me. Actually, it was this time yesterday that the news came through when we were on air about David Lynch, Alison.
Yeah. So did either of you watch Twin Peaks when it was popular? I mean, actually, maybe you're both too young.
When it came out. No, I remember it came out and
I was too
it
young.
Freaked me out too much.
Way too
two
young.
Episodes.
Really?
I was like,
I don't know what that says about me then, because I'm like, this is my kind of story. David Lynch. So he's 78. Like, that's not old, and a remarkable career, incredible man, and people seem to universally love him. But my reason why I mention him today is I do think it's a good time to go back to Twin Peaks. So then I was like, oh my God, I haven't watched that in so long. Like, that would have been one of the shows that we kind of gathered together as teens to watch. And it just made such an impact on us. And I think actually, to be honest, we watched season one, and then when season two came out, we left it and went back to it later in life. And then in 2017, they released season three. Kyle MacLachlan, who was the main FBI agent man in it, was like saying his whole career was based around his work with David Lynch. And of course, there's so many films to watch of his as well, if you want to go back. But it's all that, like, you know, film noir, kind of like thriller with humor very much in it. He was kind of doing it before anybody else was kind of mixing those genres.
What's Twin Peaks about?
So basically, a teenage girl, Laura Palmer, is murdered, and they find her diary. And in the diary is this I'm not spoiling anything by this. This came out in 1990, is this realization that she has like a double life. And so that's the whole story. So Kyle MacLachlan, do you know him as an actor?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is Dale, the FBI agent that comes in to investigate it all. So it's all based around that. So, and it's just, it's the way it's filmed. It's meant, it's a fictional town in Washington, but it's like the kind of West Coast, and it's like very kind of eerie and, but very funny at points as well. And yeah, I really,
why,
I
did,
go back
freak,
and watch
why it. Did episode two freak you out?
I don't know, I was 12 or 13. You're like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep. I had nightmares after watching Gremlins when I was a kid. So like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a constitution of iron as a child.
No, I love it. And I just love the music around it all as well. Like,
music,
the soundtrack was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made very few movies.
Yeah.
And TV. He made almost nothing. Sorry, like screen-wise. Like as in, you know when you go into like someone dies, you're like, and then you go into their Wikipedia or IMDb. Or,
yeah.
Sometimes they're like, they're so prolific that there'll be like an entire, that have
he did
an
a lot
entire
of screenplays.
He made like, he only made about like 10 movies.
Yeah. They're good
all,
ones
yeah?
though.
Yeah.
Blue
they
Velvet.
Are good ones, yeah.
I never saw Eraserhead because that was like from the 70s.
You're not that
Heart,
old.
I'm not that old. Actually, now that I'm doing my math, I'm actually, because when you said your age, Jer, I was like, maybe I didn't watch it when it came out in 1990. It was more like 1995 we watched it. But anyway.
Too late to backtrack now.
Guys, I'm 65. And Mulholland Drive is awesome.
So you did make Mulholland Drive. Yeah, Mulholland Drive is very good.
Yeah,
I watched that again recently.
Yeah. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, very few though. Very few.
But very
quality,
impactful.
Quality rather than quantity.
Exactly.
We do like daily radio shows and you do two shows every week, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it would be good to only do one thing a year, you know?
That'd be nice,
really
wouldn't
good.
It?
You know?
I mean, like Mulholland Drive-esque radio show once a year.
A bit weird, but not very lucrative.
The last thing you want to talk about is kind of, is related to a degree, is it? It's what you watched.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, obviously the fires at the moment are raging and they were talking about, and I was like, oh, and then it was on Sky the other night and I'd never watched it. Really the reason for telling this story, I don't know if you know, there's a woman who was a very famous actor in the movies, in the silent movies era. She worked for Cecil B. DeMille and she was absolutely massive and lives in this absolute mansion. And a guy pulls into her driveway one night trying to escape. People are trying to reclaim his car, and he's a script writer and he writes a script for her to make a comeback movie, and she's washed up, totally washed up, and you know she's ancient in the whole thing, and it's absolutely ridiculous that this young man and her might have some kind of physical relationship, which is kind of the subplot to it. And then it turns out she's 51. She was 51 years of age, and in 1937 or 38 or 42, whatever,
dead.
It was like, oh, old lady, spinster, crazy woman.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's deluded. She wants a career.
When we,
well, Mrs. Robinson, age? The actress was supposed. To, what was she supposed to be? 45, and that
well,
was
she,
considered
I mean, that
to be
is very old.
was it good? The movie
amazing. It is absolutely astonishingly good. Like,
yeah.
I made the kids watch that as well, and so maybe they'll be freaked out for the rest of their lives. The opening scene that we meet her in, she's mourning her dead chimp. I was hooked from that point on. I was like, oh, this bit. So a bit made up. And then Dead Chimp, I'm like, oh, I'm in here. What's going to happen?
What did the kids think of it?
Very good, yeah.
Oh. All of them watched it.
Well, the two youngest ended up watching the last 15 minutes. Like, you're not leaving.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I was watching Sky News yesterday and you're seeing some of the kind of the wealthier neighbourhoods now. They've like private fire trucks all pulled up. It's amazing. It's kind of like in the worst possible way amazing.
Late stage capitalism is great, right?
Yeah. Do you listen to, I know Claire, the producer, is going to roll her eyes because I mention it every day, but the rest is entertainment, the podcast.
It's so weird. So that was recommended to me by a colleague about, I don't know, September time. And it was only a week ago I looked at a list. We all have those notes where like, because we're going to forget everything if we don't. It was like a list of podcast suggestions because of walking the damn dog. I'm bored now, all that kind of stuff. That's the first one on my list. And I was like, I'm going to go back to it this week.
But they make the point that, you know, people are talking about the impact on the movie industry. Like, very few movies, Hollywood is not the movie, it's just where the money is.
Yeah.
The studios in terms of where the offices are.
Mm-hmm.
But almost nothing is made, like not almost nothing.
It's all made
like
in Canada because it's cheap.
Yeah.
And it looks like America, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's like the deal's America.
Yeah,
I'm glad you admit it.
Yeah,
basically. It's taking a while, but I'm glad you got there. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, Ger Gilroy. Ger, enjoy the celebrations with your adopted club at
Thanks
the weekend.
Very much. Looking forward to
Hope it goes well. That is our lot. Owen Sheehan, Sinner of the Week, is up next. And I'll be back on Monday from 4. Have a great weekend.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.